Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. So, one thing that you're not going to get if you play this game today, unless you spend a lot of money, is the actual Grail diary this game shipped with. Thankfully, it's uploaded in full to the Internet Archive, but like a lot of games for this time, like a lot of games of this time, it did come with feelies, as they call them, and this one was a 66-page version of the Grail diary. In the context of how it's published, it's framed as like an excerpt, so it's not the entire thing you see in the movie, but it's written by Noah Falstein's brother as Dr. Henry Jones. And it's both copy protection, which was very common for the time, and it's also a guide to the game. And I did not have time to sit down and read all 70 pages, but it's like a giant handwritten document with different excerpts from Dr. Jones and, you know, illustrations and obviously little clues as to how to get around the puzzles. You are not going to get that with the digital game experience.
No, they have a facsimile of the Grail Diary in the game, but it is nowhere near as cool as this.
Yeah, it's just a few images and just your standard LucasArts font. It's not like the handwritten work of Sean Connery's character. But yeah, that is something that's very cool. It also included a lot of like Indiana Jones lore that had not been revealed by the movies, including the name of his mother, I think, is included in that Grail Diary that I think eventually it was retconned, or they found a way to incorporate that into the films in the future. Mm. But yeah, that very cool little document, but unfortunately you're not going to get that. And then with future releases of the game, they produced a smaller, more to the point version of that. So only in the original release, which I imagine was pretty cool if you were a little kid playing this in 89, and let me know if you were, because I imagine if you had seen the movie, having that like artifact from the movie in your hands would have been very neat.
Oh, that's the best kind of feely, something that would be from within the game world, right? Think the original Fallout manual, which is the Vault Dweller manual kind of thing. Yeah.
And even Maniac Mansion had the basically the bulletin board for the college that all the students went to, and you can see like little hints and phone numbers and things like that. That was really neat. Yeah, I love elements from the game's world brought into our world. That's always really cool. Yeah. So yeah, that's pre-production on the game. Again, check out the International House of Mojo retrospective on it, because that gives you a lot of details about it. And again, not a lot of scholarship on this game, not a lot of research, because it's a game people really don't want to remember, and it doesn't help that there's a much better indie game that exists out there. So that's really all there is to it. So as for the game discussion, this game came out in July of 89. They wanted to hit the movie release date. That was Memorial Day. They didn't. But, you know, it was just a month after. It was still in theaters, because movies were in theaters for much longer back then. So they kind of met their goal. And it was an admirable goal, but it didn't make for a very good game.
Yeah, you can tell it was rushed.
We have dragged the game slightly. We will be dragging it more. So here is, like, the first half of the compliment sandwich. This game does innovate within the Scum Engine. So some big innovations are, we have finally, at long last, a look command, which means if there's something you can interact with on the screen, you can select the look command and then click on the item, and then Indy will give you some flavor text. Maybe it'll just be flavor text. It could be a hint about what you're supposed to do, but that adds so much to the game, what they can do with both the design and storytelling. So the look command is there. Unfortunately, we have not evolved to the point where mousing over an item will let you know what it is or if you can interact with it. You still have to use the what is command, which is baffling. I heard a heavy sigh from you, Cole.
Yeah, they, like LucasArts would. I mean, they would eventually get it, but yeah, it's they're halfway in between. Like, we have this tool where you can identify something where the art style is too rudimentary for you to just get it at a glance. So we're going to design with all of this information in that layer, but like everything, we're going to put this behind a click, two or three clicks to, you know, to get it. It's just like you're almost there. But that difference, you know, like the amount that you come up short is really everything, right?
Yeah, it's such a weird idea, and I'm glad they eventually got rid of it. And I wish they would like patch it out of games, because it feels like you have all of these verbs, but when you see the place you're in, suddenly you lose all senses and you have to feel your way around the screen to know what is actually interactable. It's very, very odd, and it adds like one unnecessary step, and it's very frustrating when you're in places in this game like the library, where there are certain like pixel hunty puzzles where you can get these books that will help you later in the game, but you basically have to mouse back and forth over the bookcase to find out which book stands out as a unique book you can interact with. And I'm sure to them that was part of the puzzle, like in a real library you're looking at every book, but that does not make for a fun gameplay experience.
Also, how does anybody use a library like that? That's not
yes.
what happens.
Yeah. Indy did not know about the card catalog or to ask the librarian for help. But so yeah, look command, very important. Maniac Mansion and Zach McCracken have things like read, and you know, that only works on some objects. But in this game, you can look at everything and you'll have a bit of text, and that will carry over to not just future LucasArts games, but every adventure game. Like, look is your standard default verb to use when you're just exploring the world, and if you want to suck all the text and voice acting out of a game, that you want to look at every object. And in this game, we also have for the first time dialogue choices and dialogue puzzles. So not as varied as what we would see in Monkey Island, but there are still puzzles, and it represents an evolution in Scum design. Now, the characters can talk, but also how you engage with them is part of the puzzles in the game.
Yeah, that's really important. Obviously, evolutionarily, it leads to some of the best stuff about the LucasArts adventure games. You know, when you have dialogue options, each one of those is an opportunity for different jokes. I think it's pretty important for the feel of being indie to be able to, you know, fast talk your way through some of these situations, right? You know, some of my favorite parts of this are where you're scamming Nazis. You know, those are embedded in terrible sections of the game, but it actually is genuinely pretty funny. I think that improvisational spirit is like a good adaptation.
Yeah, I think a lot of that does come from Ron Gilbert, because he was always looking for ways to make the games funnier. And I think he was kind of at odds with a few of his other project leads, where they're like, well, this does not match the tone of Indiana Jones, but you know, they're making their own project. It's funny, like, when you start the game, Indiana Jones comes out of the locker room and says, "Hi, I'm Indiana Jones. Welcome to my adventure game." It does feel like a very quaint and old school touch. The main character welcomes you to his game for a licensed game, even. It breaks reality immediately to let you know what you're in for.